This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Tennis great Margaret Court's career has been a balance of really great tennis and a lot of controversy. Since her epic wins in 1970, she's been connected with statements about supporting apartheid, tennis being full of lesbians, and a lot of really hurtful statements about the LGBTIQA+ community. This week, Court was in Melbourne for a commemoration of the 50th anniversary of her Grand Slam wins. I spoke to Ryan Storer from Proud to Play about the issue.
Yep.
Do you think what Tennis Australia did was the best that they could do in that sort of situation?
Yeah, look, I think Tennis Australia have actually gone about this in quite a good way in terms of there is a predicament because at the end of the day, she has been celebrated for the achievement of winning the Grand Slam, which is a major historic achievement. But at the same time, the dilemma is around, is it easy to celebrate the achievement, but you're also obviously celebrating the person behind it. And when the person behind it has gone out of their way to vilify and call out LGBT people on numerous occasions, at what point does your sporting achievements make you exempt from criticism and being able to speak out on these type of things? So I think they've done it very well in terms of they've made it clear they don't support the views, they've separated themselves from the views and reinforced their commitment to LGBT inclusion, and made clear as well that it was a recognition of her achievement, but not a celebration. So I think how they've actually handled it and dealt with it, because it's not an easy position to be in. In terms of, like, there was the, it's now called Melbourne Arena, but it was called the Hisense Arena. So when actually, like, naming rights and sponsorship and things go, so stadium names can be changed. Yeah. With this particular incident, however, Tennis Australia, to my knowledge, don't have the power to change the name of the stadium. It's the Olympic Park, Melbourne Olympic Park organisation that own the land and the names of the stadiums and stuff, so it's their decision. Right. So any like advocacy or naming of the stadium would have to be done by that. But to be honest with you, I think in the years to come it will be changed, and it could be well changed to another player such as Yvonne Goolagong, because having the name on the stadium carries with it an association. If you want it to kind of represent the values of an organisation like Tennis Australia, it's not really a very good representation. Mm. And it's just mad in controversy. So every year, unless it's changed, I'm sure these debates will happen again, and there will be calls for it to be debated, because it sounds like Margaret isn't going to let up anytime soon with her views around LGBT people. Yeah.
Tennis Australia minimising the commemoration of her, do you think that's the best thing they could have done to not like give her negative views a voice?
Yeah, and look, it's difficult because there's a lot of people who would argue that they're celebrating, she's been celebrated for her achievement, not her outer curricular type stuff and not her views and things like that, which you can kind of get, but it's very difficult to separate a person from their athletic achievements. Like, we don't think of sports stars as one person there and then another person outside of it, things like that. So it's very difficult to separate a national sporting champion from the personal life. And like, for example, if Roger Federer started talking racist comments or negative attitudes towards women, I don't think people would still be celebrating them in the same way and say, no, but that's his outside, he's still a very good tennis player. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Mm. So I think there's problems around that, and separating someone from their sporting achievements is very difficult to do.
Do you think as a society we're kind of moving progressively forward in ideas like this?
Yes, things are getting better. The sports sector's engaging with this type of issues more frequently now, and there's more proactive things. Like, Tennis Australia have kind of a portfolio that they're working with now around this area, and they've got the Glam Slam, which is at this weekend, where they're putting the Pride. Sure, Court 3 is going to be the Pride Arena for the finals of the Glam Slam. They've done other work. So there's definitely more happening. And in terms of society, we're slowly starting to do more in this area. But as with any form of social change, there's also a lot of resistance. So that's why with the religious exemptions bill and things like that, when LGBT rights are kind of going one way, also you get a lot of resistance and backlash. Mm.
And so what's on the agenda for Proud to Play for 2020?
The agenda is basically continuing to work with sports, a range of sports. So we have like a Rainbow Sport Alliance, whereby we partner with up to 10 sports, I think it is at the moment, developing their LGBT portfolio and working with the LGBTI community to create inclusive opportunities. So we've got some work happening in cricket in the next month, whereby we've got a supporters group starting. We've got our Proud Cricket program again. So it's going from strength to strength, and I think the sports sector is a lot more responsive and doing a lot more work in this area, which is great to see.
Ryan Storr from Proud to Play.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.